Most people are interested in their own possessions, but I find that Christians have a great deal more than they know and that they are possessing and enjoying. Let's have a little Bible reading about the love of God. I want to read from 1 John, the 4th chapter, beginning at verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His Son, His only begotten Son, into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now this statement certainly proves, beyond any shadow of a doubt, by means of referring us to the cross of Calvary, that God does love us. There may be someone listening to my voice who doubts the love of God. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. I have two sons. I couldn't force myself to give either of those sons for the best man who ever lived, let alone for a world of sinners. But God proved His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loves us. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. I'm sure all of you have known. Have you believed God's love? God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is love with us made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. I suppose one of the reasons for doubting the love of God is a sense of our own unworthiness. I know there's no reason why God should love me. I wasn't so irresistible. I was just a sinner, and God knew all about me. I recognized my unworthiness. But God didn't love us for what we are. There's an old song that goes, I wondered what he saw in me to suffer such deep agony. Well, let me let you in on a little secret. He didn't see a thing. That isn't why he loves you. He loves you because it's his character. He is love. Not only did God love the whole world, as that wonderful verse John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But we're told also that Christ loved the church, specifically, in the 5th chapter of Ephesians. And then Paul says in Galatians 2:20, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. And John, the beloved apostle, seemed to grasp this more than most. For he called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now the manner of the love of God, I'd like to say, is not a complacent love. It isn't because he's so pleased with us, even after we've become Christians, but it's a compassionate love. And I'd like to say, too, that God loves us in the same way that he loves his Son, that is, to the same degree. We're told that we're loved as the Father loves the Son. Some of you may be wondering if he's going to continue to love you. Well, did he have any reason to begin? And if he had no reason to start loving you, is he going to quit? In Jeremiah 31:3, he calls this love an everlasting love. And in the Song of Solomon, chapter 8 and verse 7, he says, many waters cannot quench love. This kind of love is enduring. I suppose everybody loves the 8th chapter of Romans. That chapter begins by telling us that there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. And it ends by telling us that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you feel your unworthiness is just now, God hasn't changed a bit. It's only you who change. I change, but not God. I change, He changes not. No change Jehovah knows, the old song says. And that's very true. Now, God has proven His love to us, not only at Calvary, but think of His loving kindness. And this is a word that seems to be peculiar to the Bible. He uses it 30 times, loving kindness. We don't use that word very much, maybe because there isn't much kindness in our love for one another. But God is kind to us. And the love of God is the love that brings us into sonship, because He says in 1 John 3 and verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. That's what we are. And because God loved us, He made us His own children. Now, I may love someone enough to spare him some trouble or punishment, but to love him enough to make him my own son is quite another thing. And that's what God has done to us. Some of you who come to God with fear and trembling, almost afraid to ask God for something, do you realize that you're His own dear child? That as Christ is, so are we in this world? That we have not only boldness in the day of judgment, as we read there in 1 John, but we have liberty, boldness, to come into the very presence of God, to pray, to talk to Him, to be at home with Him, all because He loves us so much. When you know a person loves you, you feel at home in his company. Another proof of the love of God for us in everyday life is chastisement. Now, you may not have thought of it this way, but He says, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. The very trouble some of you are going through right now may be a proof that God loves you. He doesn't want you to go on in a way that's displeasing to Him, and so He's bringing you back to Himself with a little chastening. Then when we love someone, we like to spend time with them. And we're told in the 14th of John that God shows His love to us in that He wants to live with us. He says He will love us and will make His abode with us. Now think about the effects of the love of God in our lives. We just read together there in 1 John 4 that we're given boldness in the day of judgment. I think that means that we have no fear about meeting God about our sins. Some people live in constant fear that maybe their sins are not forgiven after all, that maybe they'll be lost after all. Well, read that verse over and see what He says. He wants you to be rooted and grounded in love, as He says in Ephesians 3. The result of being rooted and grounded in love is that we will come to know the love of Christ better than we do. And the word for know there is a word that means full knowledge. He wants you to really know by revelation how very much He loves you. Another effect of the love of God is that we are brought to love Him. The more you read of the love of God, the more you believe God's love, the more response there will be in your heart to God, and you'll love Him in return. And you'll love his word, and you'll love his people, and you'll love the souls of the unconverted. We love because he first loved us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14 tells us that the love of God constrains us. Now, this isn't restraint like the law restrains people, holds them back from sin. But this is constraint. He pulls us with himself. The love of God leads us along and makes us want to please him. And we judge that since he died for us, we have died with him, and now we're not our own, but we belong to him. The love of God constrains us, pulls us with himself, makes us live in a way that we would not and could not without this constraining power of the love of God. Do you believe the love of God? First of all, have you ever believed that God loves you and gave his son for you? And have you ever thanked him? If not, this would be a good time to do so. Just bow your head and tell God that you have turned his love away. You have not believed his love, but you do believe him now. And if you do believe him, and if you have believed him before, why not believe that love more and enjoy it more? Revel in it. Live in it day by day. God would like to have you enjoying these things which we have as believers. The children of Israel did not enjoy their possessions because they did not go in and possess them. Our Father, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus, a proof of thy love to us. We thank thee for daily proofs. We pray that thou wilt direct our hearts into the love of God and enable us as believers to keep ourselves in the love of God, to enjoy and to show to others that we believe this love. In Jesus' name, amen.